podcast with Amanda, Shani, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name's Amanda.
And I'm Shani.
And welcome, everybody, to episode Sweet 16.
Yeah. Aww.
I didn't get you guys Sweet 16 gifts. I'm sorry.
That's all right. We can do a Sweet 16 toast.
Deal.
That sounds good.
Deal. I'm doing martinis again. I was so inspired by your blue cheese olives, Colleen, that I went out and got them, and I've been obsessed.
Okay, well, it's your turn to get really shit-faced. Because clearly Shandy and I were, and you were fine.
Maybe also subtly I want, I want a redo.
Please take your redo. I would really, really feel so much better about myself. Did you guys listen to the bloopers from last week?
I did.
It hasn't downloaded onto my phone yet.
Oh, try refreshing.
Yeah, I've been having a problem with my podcast app.
You should download
this
Downcast.
This is not the only one.
Downcast. I think it's 99 cents, but it's totally worth it. It rarely has any issues. It's got a nice, easy interface to use it. I don't know. Back when Jay and Jack had their Plus feed, I had to become acquainted with every single one of those types of apps because people would write in with questions like, how do I use the feed with this? So I was always downloading them and like buying them and figuring out how to put the feed on each one of them. And if somebody had a question like, I can't figure this out, like I'd go in and be like, okay, how do they do this? Even though I still, ironically, only ever sync it up to my app on Nano.
Yeah, that's the funniest part.
But you tried all of them, and that's the one that works for you.
Well, because it's the small like convenience of fitting the Nano in my pocket, like during the day, and that's really all it is. It's that, and like I don't know, it's comfort. It's reminds me of 2009, a great year. But anyways, if you are joining us and you have heard last week's shit show of an episode, which I apologize that it was out a little late. I had a busy weekend filled with pumpkin picking and whatnot.
Adorbs.
It was pretty fun. I have so many pictures. We took, because Jay brings his like nice camera, and we took 435 pictures. And Zach has already made us, put them on the computer and go through each one of them like 17 times. So you'd think at this point I'd know which ones I want to use, but, I don't.
Yeah. So is that like Christmas card type pictures?
Probably. My Christmas cards always have like a gazillion pictures in them. I'm trying to only do like maybe two or three this year. Maybe our Halloween costumes and maybe like Zach's birthday. Like I spend way too much time on the Christmas cards, and then I always order them late. And then by the time I order them, I always get them from Staples because they have amazing Groupon. And I always order them late, and then I want them on photo paper, and they have to put them on matte paper. And I need to take care of them earlier this year, and I need to settle on like two pictures and be done with it. Plus, it's getting a little narcissistic at this point because it's not like, here, look at our new baby for the first time, most of our friends. It's like, oh, here's this family that can't decide on a fucking picture, so they put six of them on their card.
No, I like those better, actually, because it's like it becomes more like kind of a visual holiday letter.
Suppose.
Air quotes.
Yeah.
And because who likes to read someone's holiday letter? It's much nicer to see the collage of what you've
done. Oh, man. I love the shit out of holiday letters. And really? Oh, my God. I love them. I've always aspired to do a holiday letter, and I thought, like, one day when I'm an adult, I will do a letter, and I never have. But I enjoy reading other people's holiday letters. So if you have a holiday letter, send it to me. I will read that shit.
And actually, I take that back. My friend, her dad does one, and it's hysterical. He's a sports writer for a living. So he's a writer. So they're very funny. They're very tongue-in-cheek. That one I do enjoy.
Nice.
But normally, unless you're a professional writer, don't send me your holiday letters.
Fair enough. I, 1 year I did a holiday card, and I was so proud of myself when I was like designing it and everything on one of those websites, whatever. So designing is maybe, you can put in quotes. And I get the, like, I ordered like 25 or something, and I get them in the mail, and it's like still before Christmas. So I'm proud of myself, but no, there's not like a ton of time. Open it up, and I fucking didn't correct the red eye. So I have these cards all printed out on this nice paper with a bunch of red eye. It's like, well, at this point, I'm not going to spend more money, and I don't really have the time, so I'll just send them out. So I sent them out, but I ran out. I had didn't realize how many people I needed to send them to. And so I was like, okay, all right, I will order a second batch, but this time I'm going to change it up a little bit. Maybe I'll do a different design. I will fix the red eye. And I was sure to do that. Get the cards in the mail. And it had on the card, it was like, you know, holiday greetings or whatever from 2000 XX. And you're supposed to go in and and I had somehow overlooked that. So I was like, God damn it. My first batch had red eye. The second batch was from 2000 XX. You know what? Screw it. Like, these ones are going out too. And that's what you guys are getting. And I haven't done a holiday card since.
Oh, man. Aww. You should try it this year.
Maybe if I have my shit together, maybe I think about it. And then I think about it even more when all of the tribe cards come in and I'm like, oh my God, I'm getting, like, you know, holiday cards from Colleen and like Adam. And I feel like such a turd because I don't.
I'm only doing one or two pictures this year. So don't feel too much pressure.
Yeah, I actually never do holiday cards. I've never done them.
Why not? Maybe
well, because I feel like, I don't know, like, who wants my stupid face on their refrigerator?
Like, me.
I feel like I don't have a kid. Like, that's why people send out holiday cards, because they've got an adorable child to show off. And they look how much they've grown.
No, you do have a cat.
I've grown. That's true. My cousin actually sends out adorable Christmas cards with her cats. But I don't know. Maybe this year we will. I don't know. I'm so adult.
Like, this year you guys live together, so you could send out a joint one.
Yeah. I don't know. We might. We probably will. I don't know.
It is kind of a lot of work for something that ultimately it's like, okay, well, thank you so much. And now has it been long enough for me to feel okay about throwing this away?
Yeah. Although I have a friend who said that she saves all of her Christmas cards, particularly for friends that have had kids. And the thought is that, like, one day she wants to give it back to them as a gift to sort of cool, like, you know, collage or photo album or something. So that, because it's like, you know, you don't necessarily know if a parent saves every single one because, you know, they're expensive. You buy them, you send them out. Like, and I was like, that is really, really sweet.
That, God, now it's like, if we could rewind like 5 years, then I could have.
Yeah.
We could start now.
Here's a collage of photos of Christmas cards of Zach from 2 years old on.
Forget about
the first 2 years.
I had seen a Pinterest thing where you keep each Christmas out a card, but you do it like, so if you had two kids or one kid, like, so you keep your extras and then you add it to the album each year. So that way when they go off and you don't do that anymore, you can be like, here's your Christmas cards from growing up, child, Rin.
Children. Oh, my children.
Children. My mom, actually, I think it was for, like, I don't know, maybe around my 25th birthday, gave me, like, this giant bag of, like, huge of stuff. Just, like, stuff from, so it was, like, my baby book and all of, like, the birthday cards from, you know, if I have, like, birthday cards from, like, aunts from when I turned one, you know, like, stuff like that. It's pretty cool.
That is cool. That's cool if if they write something personal every year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I don't keep the cards if it's, like, you know, dear Colleen, love so-and-so, and there's, like, not even, like, you know, happy birthday written in hand. Like handwriting or something.
Yeah, no, same.
But I have this card. My grandfather used to always play this song, Just the Way You Are, from Bruno Mars for me. And we danced to it at my wedding. And at some point, he sent me that card because the outside of the card said, you're amazing. Like, dear granddaughter, you're amazing. And it's one of the only cards that he actually wrote out. Usually it's my grandma. And, you know, it says, dear Colleen, you're amazing just the way you are or whatever. And then, you know, it says love you always. And then it's signed. My grandma actually signed grandma and grandpa, which is really weird because it switches handwriting.
It's like he had to get something out of the toaster or something.
Yeah. Or I don't even know.
My bagel's done.
Because when we were putting the magnets like and everything back on the fridge, Jay volunteered to do that because he's very into like, you know, arranging and organizing things and like, you know, how furniture and decorations, decor looks. And I'm like, dude, like, it just put it up. And he's like, no, it's got to look like this and like this. So he's like very into that oddly, like role reversal or something. So he put everything up on the fridge and there's a note. There are two notes. One is from the 2009 Jay and Jack Autism Speaks podcast. And it's for my grandma, and it's a little post-it that she, like, cut out. And, you know, great job, Colleen and Jay, and in parentheses, and Jack, too. And then the other one is from when I graduated from Meredith College and got my paralegal degree. And it says, you know, dear Colleen, we love you. You're going to be a great paralegal. Love grandma and grandpa. So Jay was like, who wrote these? Like your grandma, your grandpa. And I was like, oh, these are my grandma's handwriting. And then I like pulled out the card because it sits on the bookshelf. And I was like, this is the thing that he wrote. But like randomly she signed it, which I think is so adorable at the same time. It's kind of like their birthday calls to me. You know, it would be like my grandfather would be like, hello, like if there's a message that I still have from them, it's like the only thing I think I still have with my grandpa's voice. And it's like, you call us back, my dear, we have a song for you. And then my grandma's the one that starts singing. So it's just, it kind of just reminded me of like how they would take turns doing things. I don't know. It's, this story is not very exciting, but you know,
oh, it's adorable. Hashtag it, what are you talking about?
Sentiment.
I love your grandparents.
I know. They were the best. They are, well, yep. are/were the best.
Yeah.
But anyway, before I start crying, I'm drinking beer and I'm only drinking one glass of wine tonight and keeping it very sober because this is the first time I've drank since Friday because I'm trying to lose weight real quick for Brian's wedding because I just don't have any time to work out. So see this, the jug of water from when I had no fridge? My goal has been to drink one of these every night after I come home from work.
It's a lot of water.
I just want to swim in water and then pee it all out in time for Sunday and fit into my dress.
Well, that's one hypothesis.
Somebody else talk, because I'm just going to keep up with boring stories like not drinking and grandparents shit.
So yesterday, well, this is actually probably a really boring story too, but,
happy 16th birthday, guys.
The episode title is Boring Stories.
Boring Stories.
The one with all the boring stories.
Yes. I realized a couple of days ago, well, so we hoard cheese in my house. We will... I mean, basically, we always have like multiple cheeses just for consumption. But then also, when we go like to certain stores or, you know, like Whole Foods or the cheese shop, for example, like we'll always just grab a little bit of extra cheese and throw it in the freezer, either for a fondue later on or for a raclette later on, which is a French, well, Swiss, I guess, dish that's really good that has this particular kind of cheese.
Yeah, and, I was going to say, I thought raclette was a specific type of cheese. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the name of the cheese and the name of the dish and also the name of like this, you know, it's like it refers to scraping. You scrape the cheese off. But so anyway, when we were in Montana over vacation, their like version of Whole Foods had a really good deal on raclette cheese. And so my husband, of course, being French, was like, oh, we should buy like a billion pounds of this and bring it back. It's like, okay, all right. If that's like the thing you need to buy on vacation, then like, okay. So we come back with so much cheese and we drove. So it was in our, cooler, like in the trunk, and it smelled, you know, like so potent, even though like every time you would open it. Yeah. It's kind of a strong smelling cheese. So anyway, we get back and we throw it in the freezer. And then it was kind of cold last week. So we're like, oh, we should probably have a raclette. It's like a winter dish and it doesn't ever feel wintry here. So, so we thought about maybe doing one of those. And then I was like, you know, like Monday, we both had off from work Monday night. I was like, I think Monday is probably like around like our 14-year anniversary of like meeting each other. So we should make this into like an anniversary dinner. And so that's what we did yesterday. We had a raclette and champagne, which I didn't anticipate I'd be drinking it so soon, but I had some of that last night. And took some fun pictures and ridiculous videos and celebrated like being old. I mean, not really being old. I'm not that old, but like just the fact that I can say like, wow, I've known my husband for 14 years. It's kind of insane.
That's crazy. That's almost half your life.
Yes. Yes. Wow. Yes. It is. Yeah. It is insane. So that was cool.
That is cool.
That's great. So wait, you have the raclette like machinery?
Oh yes. I got that for my husband for his birthday. Like I think probably the first year that we moved here to the US. It's a necessity.
I didn't know what raclette was till maybe a couple of years ago. A friend of mine, Allison, Colleen, a fellow diva of ours, works for a Swiss cheese company.
Nice.
So
yes,
I learned about raclette that way. I've never had the pleasure of having it, but it sounds and looks beautiful.
It is so bad for you, like just like, so much cholesterol, but so good and such like comfort food too. So, but you're a vegetarian, right, Amanda?
I don't like
with
labels.
The occasional shrimp.
Well, yeah. But
right,
yeah, like
except for shrimp cocktail.
Yeah, like 95% of the time, I'm vegetarian.
Okay. But you're not going to be like eating a bunch of like prosciutto and like.
No.
Other deli meats, right? So that's like, that's what half of raclette is. But I did have a raclette once in Germany and they used a lot more like vegetables and stuff. I don't know if that's like a particular German thing or if it was just that particular family, but that was really good too. And healthier.
I like cheese and with veggies or like with pickles and like, I feel like that's a really like
pickles,
German
mushrooms.
Thing.
Mushrooms. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Oh, and here comes Fiona who went to the vet today.
Aww.
Our little Fifi. I came home for lunch and she like had just like all this like pus coming out of her eyes. It was disgusting.
Oh, girl.
Yeah.
What did the vet say?
So by the time, so this was at like, I was home at like 11, probably noticed it at like 11:30, called the vet. And the soonest we could come in was like 2 or 2:30. So anyway, I went back to work and my husband was the one who actually took her. And I guess by the time he took her, it had actually just like cleared up.
Well, that's
but
good.
So he went in anyway and they were like, well, there's no, you know, they did an examination. They're like, there's no like visible sign of any trauma or anything. We thought maybe it was from our kitten who likes to jump all over her. But anyway, so they were like, I mean, if it comes back, then we'll give her, I don't know, antibiotics or I can't remember what, but.
Did she essentially have pink eye from like the other cat's feces touching her or something?
Could be. It really could be. Now she's totally fine.
Has Tim been in your house recently?
Oh, dear. I don't think I've had the pleasure of
hearing. You have not. This was a married man show story probably early summer or even spring. Maybe that was one of the early ones right after Dale left. But Tim got pink eye and it's from feces essentially, and he thinks it's because his wife lets his dog sleep on his pillow.
Yeah, which
Amanda's
is absolutely
just looking.
It's not completely like out of left field. Like it has some logic to that theory.
Yeah,
I don't know. I live in New York City. I get pink eye like once a year now.
That's true because you have the subway.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh man!
I got warts in the subway. Remember, Amanda? That was awful.
What?
In 2007, right around the time I started dating Jay, it was when I went to that Comic-Con. I had them just popping up, and I swear I got them from the subway because I did not come in contact with anybody with warts, and I was.
But that's the thing. Like warts are only contagious to yourself if you have warts. Mm-mm. You can't. Well, I had warts growing up. And that's what, like, the doctor said. Like, I could only spread the, like, I would only spread them to my own fingers.
But no. If they're open.
Oh, lovely.
Like,
how
if
do
they're
you open a wart, they're not like pussy.
How do you get warts? Okay.
Oh, we just took a turn towards interesting town, I think.
the one with all the warts on its hands. So this is from WebMD. Common warts are actually an infection in the top layer of the skin caused by viruses in the HPV family. Oh, shit. This is getting real. Callback to our very first episode.
Exactly.
When the virus invades this outer layer of skin, usually through a tiny scratch, it causes rapid growth of cells on the outer layer of skin causing the wart. So you can get it from something else because you don't just, you know, get HPV on your own.
You don't? That's not how that works.
That's not how that works.
Well.
Oh, shit, guys. I can say I've had HPV. Yes. Ooh.
But can't you just get it on your own?
Yeah, I guess that means I've had HPV too. Because like I had the worst warts when I was like in fifth, sixth grade. It was like every single finger. I had to have them sprayed off with liquid nitrogen.
Oh, I've had like one or two of those on my toes. So I guess that means I've also had HPV?
I guess so. Oh, see,
okay, guys,
suddenly, again, 16 episode. How appropriate that our sweet 16 episode is when we're back to the warts talk.
Yes.
The HPV talk. So I guess that has to count towards the statistics. We know where they're like 90% of women will have HPV at some point.
Yes.
Because 100% of the women on this podcast apparently have had it.
Yep. Well, it's like I told you, my lady doctor, like when I first started going to her in the city, you know, she was like, did you have the HPV vaccine? And I said, no, because, you know, it's like I was at the time kind of on the cusp of like the age cutoff. And she's like, ugh. She's like, don't waste your money. She's like, how long have you been sexually active? Yeah, you probably have it already. I hate to make you nervous, but you probably have it. So save your money.
Oh, man. And if you don't know what we're talking about, your new listener, go back to our very first episode because that is like, I love that episode. I think it's great. And we have a really interesting discussion about HPV. And
I
how
it's, about that.
The whole thing started because
and
my
herpes. Six,
yeah, and herpes. The whole thing started because my 62-year-old coworkers, OB, told her to get the shot or something, and she was like, you know, like, what? I don't know. Go back and re-listen.
I probably told that story in that context anyway. So sorry, listeners, if I told the same story twice. That's going to happen from time to time.
It's okay. Sometimes you have to reestablish the backstory to remind people. Continuing on. HPV is ubiquitous, says dermatologist Conway Wang. an associate professor of dermatology. We all come into contact with it throughout our lives, such as when shaking hands, turning doorknobs, or typing on keyboards, or riding on the subway, which is, I'm convinced, you cannot convince me otherwise. Scientists have identified more than 100 unique types of the virus, and most people will have at least one common wart at some time in their lives, usually on their hands. Certain forms of the virus are more likely to cause skin warts on the hands. Other forms of HPV are more likely to cause genital warts, although some strains of the virus can cause both. Okay, well, I only have the skin warts as far as the hand warts as far as I know.
I feel like you'd probably know if you had the genital warts.
Probably. Yeah. Anyway, that was super embarrassing to, you know, have this new boyfriend and be like, don't hold my hands too closely.
He might get warts.
He might get HPV, apparently. Our first STD before we even had sex.
The gateway STD.
Gateway
STD. That might be the episode title.
Gateway STD. Oh, my God.
You're welcome.
Oh my God. Yeah. So good times. That was so embarrassing though. Yeah. I just remember like trying to like hide my fingers and like I went to this place in Bayside, Amanda. Do you remember when I was getting them like frozen off? I probably even didn't tell you. Like I was so embarrassed about them because they just looked so hideous.
If anyone understands warts, it's me.
Well, I didn't know that at the time.
13 and like you're like, no one look at my hands. Like,
well, excuse me. I didn't know you when you were 13. So
that's true.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah, but I hear you. Getting them frozen off was the most painful thing I've ever had in my life.
It's not pleasant.
Yeah, it was so painful that I would just sit there because I had so many. I had to have like a few a few trips. Like, you know, they don't do it all in one. They do it in like three or four.
Yeah, I had the same exact thing.
And it was just so painful. I just sort of sat there frozen in the chair because I just didn't know what to do. It's like I couldn't cry. I couldn't scream. I was just like frozen.
Oh.
But my mom's like, oh, I didn't think it hurt so bad because you just sort of sat there. I'm like, yeah, it hurt so bad. I didn't know what to do.
Oh, man.
I was like in shock.
Oh.
Is it like childbirth, though? Because, man.
No.
Is it? It's not as bad.
No. I'd rather get the warts frozen off.
Oh, damn it.
Probably like 10 times over.
Probably. I feel like we haven't said like or enough as they keep making fun of us for on the Married Man show. Fuck you guys for that, by the way.
I'll start counting how many like.
And if you guys only knew how many ums and likes I actually edit out. I edit a lot of the ums out, especially from me and Shandy.
Ain't nothing wrong with
Yep.
Has a function in language. It's not a bad, it's fine.
Yeah.
I'm completely serious.
It does.
And we all do it because we need to tell the person we're talking to that we are have not finished our thought. It's probably why I use it a lot.
Yeah.
Let me keep talking.
Ketchup brain.
So, speaking of ums, this is a good segue, I guess. We are a part of the Jay and Jack Network, and as such, we are a part of their Patreon. So if you'd like to help contribute to this show, please consider doing that. You can go to patreon.com/Jay and Jack, or you can go to jayandjack.com, and on the top there's a link that says become a patron. Please consider. You can donate anywhere from $1 to a gazillion dollars. Clearly, we prefer the gazillion dollars, but we'll even take the dollar if you're like, you know, Tim. But
shots fired.
Oh, I made fun of him for that on a Survivor with Jay, Jack, and Colleen last season.
Perfect.
Yeah. No, we love Tim and every patron, actually. Yes, we do, because
of course.
You know, they help, like we said, they pay for squatty potties for the hosts. They actually have. And yes, therapy and all of that other fun stuff. In my case, probably diapers. So which I guess is another form of squatty potty. But if you would consider contributing, we'd be super appreciative of that. If you're contribute at $5 a month or more, you get invited into an exclusive, you know, secret patrons group page, and we have a lot of fun over there. All of the show's hosts are in it too. The Married Man show people are all in there. I know that. And it's just a lot of fun. We all, you know, straight chill and whatnot. Please consider that. At $15 or more, you get an exclusive hangout once a month, and that's fun. We've got a good core group of 6, 7, 8, 9 people that show up. It'd be great, you know, to add to that. But it is a lot. It is a lot of fun, and we appreciate everybody that shows up to hang out. Yeah, just go to the Patreon, check out the levels. Everybody, no matter how much you donate, gets added to the thank you page. And if you're at $5 or more, you get to vote on the Patron's Choice, and you can go back and retroactively listen to the Patron's Choice show that we did. That was the Married Man broadcast crossover, which was a lot of fun.
I highly recommend it. It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun for everybody but rabbits.
Oh,
that story still just gets me. Like, why?
Yeah.
Is that a thing? But so getting back to the ums and transitions, we actually, you might start hearing quick ads in the middle of each show, because we also are hosted through Blog Talk Radio, and Jay and I had a conference call with them today, and they are, you know, said that it's it's not going to happen 100% of the time, but the same way as you have the ads at the beginning or the end, they may be in the middle of the show instead. They wouldn't be super long, but just be aware of that. And I say that because I can pick where it would go. So I can pick whether it's going to be like what kind of transition that it would be slated to go into. And please, you know, just again, bear with us I've listened to some of the shows that have already started doing it, and it's not that disruptive or anything. It's the same as when you have somebody saying an Audible ad in the middle of the show, which I skip over whenever I'm listening to a podcast and they're doing an audible.com ad mm-hmm. or any kind of ad. Yeah. So, you know, just, I don't say this, but skip over it if you don't want to hear it, but
just listen the way you want to.
Exactly. But I just want to give everybody a heads up for that there might be ads that start in the middle of each shows, and they would be during, I would try to pick the spot that it would be during a segue of some sort, like right before feedback or right before this or right after a really long, we'll see if there's an ad. So yeah, that I just wanted to give everybody a heads up, because I felt really bad, you know, that might start, and I feel like it was kind of a dick move to just start putting that stuff in without giving some kind of heads up. So please don't stop listening.
Well, yes, I think all of us probably listen to more than just this podcast, I'm guessing. All of us consume a lot of podcasts, and so kind of know how it goes.
Yep. And now for a word from our sponsor.
Maybe.
Or maybe not.
We'll find out.
We'll find out.
All right, so maybe welcome back from our ad, and maybe not. We'll see. thanks again for being a patron or considering it, or just politely sitting through that segment where we talk about that every time. Does anybody have anything else? I think, Amanda, you had something fun to share, right?
Well, I have two things. So this weekend, I did Escape the Room for the second time.
Did you do that another the first time?
Yeah, we got out with 18 minutes to spare.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, but it was decidedly easier than the one we did. Because the one we did was meant for large groups, and this one was just like three of us.
Okay, but can you explain, you did what?
Escape the Room. So Escape the Room, I don't know where else it is outside of New York. I think it is like a national company. But they do, essentially, they're like team building exercises where they all have different themes, but you get locked in a room and you have to solve all of these puzzles in order to get out.
Ooh.
So some of them are like sort of physical challenges. Some of them are sort of spatial puzzles. Some of them involve math. Some of them involve wordplay, riddles, you name it.
Sounds like Survivor.
It's harder than Survivor.
Yeah.
My main issue with the one that we did is we couldn't figure out how the fuck to start it. Like, they were like, okay, go find your first clue. And we all stood there for like 20 minutes and we're like, where is this first clue?
Yeah. Well, and it was the same thing with what we did. Like, the one we did this weekend was a post-apocalyptic bunker. And so they played like a little video at the beginning to sort of set the scene of like where you are.
Okay.
And then it's like, okay, go. And you're like, okay, so I have to get out of this room into another room, but how? And you're just sort of wandering around looking for something. And it was a little weird because it was like a brand new game to that venue.
Gotcha.
So it must have just started like within the week because they hadn't set up the camera yet. Because normally it's like you're in there by yourself and you have a guide. And there's a camera and you sort of like either like waved the camera or you like press an intercom, like, I need a clue. Yeah. But like, he's just sitting in there with us, like on a couch on his phone. And it was like,
like, dude couldn't even pretend to give a fuck.
Yeah. And it was just weird having him there. Cause like, he was very like backed off until we asked for a clue. Yeah. But then it's like towards the end, he just kept giving them to us. And it's like, dude, I would have figured it out. Like, stop it.
Homeboy wanted to go home.
Exactly. But also because it was kind of new, like, I definitely broke a few things thinking it was a clue, and it was definitely just not a clue.
Shit.
Like, definitely, like, took some things off the wall that probably were not meant to come off the wall. Yeah, no, it was really cool. I highly recommend it.
How long total did it last?
It's supposed to be an hour. Yeah. So they set the, they lock you in the room, they sort of give you the rules, and then they set the clock for an hour. And then, so a lot of times you don't escape. So if you don't escape, like what happened when Colleen and I did it for our friend's bachelorette, they come in and, you know, they explain to you what you missed and what you would have had to have done to get to the end.
Which also was all completely over my fucking head when he explained it.
But the thing is with that, we were so close. Like, we had finally locked everything in and we were like, but we just ran out of time. But yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. But yeah, the thing I was going to bring up last week, but we just sort of ran out of time and just kind of didn't go there.
I mean, we went to a lot of places last
week. Went to a lot of places and it just sort of didn't.
We grabbed a lot of pussy, but.
We grabbed a lot of pussy.
Caressed it even. But.
But yeah, so I came across. My God.
Look, somebody else did something guys. Embarrassing that wasn't me. So. I mean, the end of the bloopers does end with me slurring. I've had too many martinis, so don't feel bad.
Oh, no, I can't wait. I can't. I almost want to pause right now so I can go and listen to it.
You, go for it. When we have a pee break, which I'm sure we'll have, you can go listen to it. You're like the star of the bloopers better. This week, though.
Me?
Yeah, so the bloopers.
The not as drunk one?
Yeah, well, so the bloopers from last week go as follows. Spoiler alert if you haven't listened to them. It was mainly me saying something like just fucking stupid or embarrassing. And Shandy laughing hysterically, and then Amanda with like the 1, 2, 3 quip. Like everything was just like the setup for you. Like you. Come on.
Boom, boom. I was knocking him down left and
yeah,
right.
Yeah, like at one point I'm like, I just drank my liquor. And you're like, because that's what you need after every coughing fit. A drink of martini.
That is pretty good. It they is. Can be so, funny sometimes.
Yeah, go back and listen to them. Please, by all means. Nice. Go back nice. And listen to
next,
it.
Next pee break, I
next
will do
pee
that.
Break. I'm sure we'll have one.
Yeah. Okay, so my thing. So I came across this vegan cosmetic company called Shiro Cosmetics. I believe they're based out of Portland. And
Shiro is my favorite hibachi restaurant on Long Island.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, also, delicious.
Also a boring fucking story. Continue.
Yeah, but yeah, they have Harry Potter themed makeup. So like they have all these eyeshadows that are like based off of spells. What I thought was particularly fun is that their lip glosses are all like Felix Fixies and wait, let me pull them up. Yeah, so it's Felix Fixies, Polyjuice, and Amortadina, which I don't know. I don't remember what that spell was.
Hopefully, if Selena is listening, our resident muggle expert on all things Harry Potter, she can correct you on any kind of
pronunciation because I'm sure I butchered it. Because
isn't my it Felix Felices?
Probably. My little dyslexic brain Felices? Pronounces things very differently in my head.
It's all good, man. I don't fucking know. Yeah. What do I?
They have butterbeer themed lip gloss.
Ooh.
But yeah, and they've got like a whole bunch of, I think they've got like some Game of Thrones makeup line. They've got a boy band makeup line.
Ooh, that's fun.
Yeah. Oh, they have one thing here. I'm on the site right now. It says, hold my beer. What does that look like?
While you're looking at...
It's eyeshadows.
Ooh. I just want to know, is there anything anything NSYNC themed?
Probably, yeah. They have like a whole...
So I can finally have Justin Timberlake on my lips?
Probably. They have a battle of the boys.
I've been waiting like 18 years for that one, dude.
Oh, they have a... Tearing Up My Heart. There's 6 items. Okay. A Chris for Good Luck. Battle of the Boy Bands. Tearing Up My Heart. Alpha Tone for My Sins. Oh, they wait, they have a Just In Time lip gloss. Yeah.
So wait, nice. They have a Justin and a Joey Fatone themed makeup?
Yeah. Yeah, the whole gang's there. They have a lovely red tinted gloss. Justin Timberlake with that lovely mop of curls on the front.
What's the Lance Bass one? I have.
Oh, hold on. I will tell you.
Because I had a big crush on Love Lance Bass too.
Oh, it's Love at First Lance, and it's like shimmery pink eyeshadow.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, so check them out. Yeah, they're vegan, so they're probably pretty environmentally friendly, and all the prices seem to be pretty reasonable. So. holidays are around the corner, and their logo is a dragon on top of a castle tower. So really, what's not to love here?
Awesome.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I love it. Let's just go with that Harry Potter theme thing as being like Halloween-y. I found something Halloween related.
Perfect. Costumes. All of it. Great.
And this is, I'll go through this super quick. This is the 25 best horror TV shows of all time. Mm. And at first I was like, man, this is going to be stupid. But then as I was going through it, I was like, okay, this is kind of fun. So we can do this real quick. I'm going to, we've been recording for a certain length of time right now. I am going to give us 7 minutes to go through this, and then we can take a pee martini break.
Perfect.
Number 25, and I would argue that this is actually should be number one. Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Submitted for the approval of the Midnight Society, I call this story the tale of. I love that show. Did you guys, so you guys watch that show?
When I was like a kid, yeah.
I used to watch that show on my parents' bed, and I used to have the pillow handy to cover my eyes. But yep. The one that scared the ever-loving fuck out of me the most out of all of them was the one where, like, the kid had a red bicycle, but he was, like, a ghost or something. And I just remember that scared the shit out of me. But
I don't remember that one.
If this is on Netflix or Hulu or anything, can somebody write in and let me know? Because I would love to go back and rewatch it, and I'd probably be just as scared as now. As I was, I'd probably be just as scared now as I was then. Number 24, The Vampire Diaries. I did not watch this. It's on my list, though. Yeah, no. I've heard great things because Ian Somerhalder's in it.
He's so pretty.
He is so pretty.
So pretty.
I know. Nobody in real life that would be my type, but, you know, super pretty on the televisions. Number 23 is Tales from the Crypt, which, hello, Boils and Ghouls. And that was, I guess, on HBO. I remember watching this, but I didn't have HBO. So this must have been a thing that I watched at my grandparents' house because they had HBO. But it says taking full
of free weekends, maybe.
What?
Maybe free weekends.
That must have been it. Or, like, my grandparents had HBO, so I must have watched it there. But taking full advantage of the cable network's free reign with violence and nudity, Tales from the Crypt was a celebration of horror's pulpy past. The fact that it attracted stars from Demi Moore to Arnold Schwarzenegger to Joe Pesci and Whoopi Goldberg was simply a blood-red icing on a creep show cake. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I watched this at my grandparents' house.
Oh, yeah, I totally watched this.
Yeah. Number 22 was The Outer Limits. And that 63 to 65, I admit I probably did not watch this. Number 21 is Kolchak, the Night Stalker. Long before Mulder and Scully were so much as a glimmer in Chris Carter's eye, which I have to interject here. The other day it was 10/13, which is Mulder's birthday and Chris Carter's birthday and a big day in the X-Files fandom. A different dogged investigator.
Dogged? I have no idea.
Whatever.
I think dogged.
A different dude was cracking the cases too strange for straight authorities to solve. Somebody don't tell Pat McCrory that straight authorities couldn't solve something. anyway, so blah, 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 blah. All right. I have to watch that show because I feel like that would be right up my alley. Number 20 is Ghost Hunters, 2004 to present. I have never watched Ghost Hunters, but I have sat through their panel at Comic-Con before.
No, I don't know that one.
You never heard of Ghost Hunters?
I don't think so.
It's exactly as they say. They spoof it on, if you watch Supernatural, one of the storylines is they're friends with these people who are like the Ghost Hunters kind of parody version on that show. And I think it was New York Comic-Con that I sat through their panel. 19 was The Returned. 2012 to present. I've never heard of this. Oh, is this the creepy one with the little kid that comes back from the dead?
Oh, yeah.
Is that this?
I remember seeing like promos for that. I've never seen it, but like I've seen promos.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong, but I thought it was something like that. I'm probably wrong because I think it started later than 2012. Number 18 is Dark Shadows. Supernatural soaps of all stripes can trace their roots back to Barnabas Collins, the vampire who made Dark Shadows a bright spot on the daytime dial. So does that mean, so if this was a supernatural, if this was a soap opera, do you remember Port Charles?
Yeah.
It was the General Hospital spinoff. Their first season was a vampire thing. I'll never forget that.
So I guess it must have been based off of Dark Shadows.
Caleb was the vampire, and I can't remember the other one, but...
Oh, right. Yeah.
Kelly Monaco was the heroine. She's now on General Hospital because Port Charles... She was like the heroine of that soap opera at the time that was like in love with the vampire dude. I don't know why I remember that, but...
That's amazing.
Yeah, can't remember Tales from the Crypt. So 17 is True Blood, which we all know True Blood. I never finished True Blood. I liked the beginning, but I kind of got bored in the middle.
Oh yeah. The first season was, not even the first season?
No, I think I watched the first episode and I was a little like,
no, first season's great.
I loved the first season and it got progressively worse after that.
I would agree with
and
that.
And I think I watched the first like three and a half and then. How many seasons did they do? Anyone? Do you know?
It was 2008 to 2014. So if you can do that,
holy shit.
Good on you.
So like five more than they should have.
Probably. Number 16, Masters of Horror, 2005 to 2007. Take one look at the veritable who's of talent involved with this Showtime series. John Carpenter, Joe Dante, Toby Hooper, Dario Argente, John Landis. It's hard to claim that the show did not live up to its name. All right, so that was a Showtime series. The promo picture for it looks creepy. I should probably check that out. 15 is Alfred Hitchcock Presents, which I think everybody's seen that at some point. I've seen that.
I've seen clips. I've never seen a full episode.
Probably never heard of it, actually.
All right. Number 14 is A Haunting, 2005 to present. Never heard of this one?
No. What is it on?
Oh, okay. So there are two. I'll read it to you. There are two kinds of horror TV viewers. Those who look at a reenactment-driven paranormal series on a top 25 list and think, huh? And those who rapidly nod in solemn wide-eye agreement. Frequently drawn from the case files of Amity Horror investigators Ed and Lorraine Warren, this Discovery Channel series dramatizes, allegedly, real-life encounters with ghosts, demons, and poltergeists who jump scares and face in the mirror menace. But by tying its terrors to stories of suburban dislocation, seemingly every episode begins with a divorcee looking to make a fresh start in old dark house. Serves as a 21st century portrait of how we fear now. So if you're not familiar with Ed and Lorraine Warren, the Warrens are pretty much... every ghost story that you've ever seen, a haunting story, whatever, that you've ever seen in the movies, like The Haunting in Connecticut, and like they're the people that are the investigators that did that. There's actually some, so you can Google them. They're really famous. I listen to a lot of like, you know, unsolved kind of podcasts or whatever. Like, I love Mysterious Universe. They're the only ones that I pay to be. I'm a patron of RHAP, but like I pay to subscribe to Mysterious Universe, and you know they mention the Warrens, and I know Generation Y covered an episode on the Warrens, so they're like super famous in like the supernatural community. So good on them; they've got a TV show. Moving on, because now it's been 10 minutes, and I promised 7. Number 13 is Penny Dreadful on Showtime. Number 12.
That's good stuff.
You've watched that?
Yeah.
Should I watch it?
It actually makes Josh Hartnett look like a good actor.
I was just going to say, I see Josh Hartnett in the description here. And
yeah, and Ava Green, who is just everything.
Okay, well, maybe I will check it out then. Yeah. All I know about...
It's on Netflix now, so...
Yeah, I didn't know Josh Hartnett was still a thing that existed. I just thought that he was maybe a Suri Cruz baby daddy, so good for him. Number 12, Night Gallery. Number 11, The Kingdom. And I'm skipping these because I've never heard of them. Number 10 is Supernatural, which has my heart always and forever. I love Supernatural. Seasons 1 through 5 of Supernatural are just, they're incredible. And then Eric Kripke left, and it's kind of hit or miss. Walking, but I still watch it because, you know, Sam and Dean Winchester have my heart. And I buy all of the Supernatural shirts from T-Fury when they're on it. Number nine is The Walking Dead, which I admit I've never seen. Sorry.
Too much gore. Can't handle it.
I just never got into it. Number eight is American Horror Story. I watched the first season. Number seven is Black Mirror, which I've never seen, but hear great things.
Oh, it's so good. Oh, new season's coming out soon. I'm so excited. It's the best show. Oh, I love it. Love it.
I'll add that. That's on, is that on BBC?
It was BBC, but Netflix picked it up for the new series. So you can get the original.
Awesome.
Nine episodes, I think.
Okay. I'll add that to my list.
Yeah.
Number six is True Detective. I assume they mean season one, because
I think we all just choose to forget that season two existed.
Yeah, I mean, season one is just incredible. That scene that they have where they shoot the whole thing like straight through with the shootout in the house.
Yeah,
just all of season one is just it's so good, so good. Mm-hmm. Five is Buffy, which I know. Yes, I have to watch that. Shut up, Tim. Oh, yes. I'll do it. Four is The X-Files, my favorite TV show. The thing that got me started in really being like a TV show viewer, because, you know, love them. Three is Hannibal, which I know that's Carlton Cuse, so I'll probably like it, but I have not watched that. Brian Fuller is adaptation of the Hannibal Lecter series. Number two is The Twilight Zone. Hard to argue with that.
Mm-hmm.
And number one is Twin Peaks, which I've never seen, but I know that it's like the precursor for the everything else and probably should.
I have fallen asleep three times trying to watch the Twin Peaks pilot. Maybe fourth time's the charm. I think I just need to start it like in the morning. Can't start watching it at 9 o'clock at night. Puts me right to sleep. Peaky Blinders too. I have yet to make it through the first episode. I keep falling asleep.
I've heard great things about that as well. But all right, on that note, I promised everybody a pee break, and hey, maybe the ad will show up here. We never know. So we'll do feedback and see you after the pee break. All right, and we're back. Which may or may not have been actual break, depending on what just happened. We'll see. This will get slightly less awkward. I guess as we go along. So do we have anything else to talk about before we get into some of the feedback, or we can get this feedback show on the road?
Just to start off, we did have a pretty awesome joke by Sync Professor Jones.
Clearly he hadn't listened to the episode before he made this joke.
Right, exactly, because holy shit. No, but anyway, he says, "Oh, thank God, I thought you were maybe pregnant. Just a little late, that's all." I thought it was pretty clever. Good.
I'll give it to you, CJ. That was pretty good. I don't know if I ever do get pregnant a second time, how am I going to hide it from everybody?
You're going to pretend that you're drinking. Didn't you? Okay, wait. Was I on the tribe with you when you were pregnant?
No, it was blood versus water.
Okay, so then I guess I wouldn't have known. Well, okay.
And Cagayan. You started the following fall, didn't you?
Yeah. I started at least a season later than you guys. But so I'm just, I mean, obviously by like the second half of your pregnancy, it's, you know, like everyone knows, but at the beginning, so for that first season, what did you, because I mean, we usually on the tribe, we also like to have, you know, a good beer here and there, and sometimes even like discuss what beer we're drinking. Did you pretend that you were drinking at all, or did you just
I was surprisingly uncharacteristically coherent and sucked. I got more bad iTunes reviews during
it
really fucked up my head.
People didn't
like pregnant Colleen.
No, they didn't like sober Colleen.
Oh no.
No, they just didn't like me.
That's just certain ridiculous super fans.
No, it kind of messed with my head though. where I was like, oh my God, do people only like me when I'm drunk on podcasts? Like, I'm clearly, I'm okay. I did allegedly get pregnant after the filming of a Tribe episode, so.
So there's that.
I've told that story, right? Have I told that and then edited it out, or have I kept it on air?
I don't.
I haven't heard
the
story.
Yeah, you've told it on the Tribe. I don't think you've told it on the broadcast.
Okay. Well, this is actually going to dovetail probably into Maggie's email that's actually coming up.
Yes.
About TMI on the internet. Based on my due date, my date of conception would have been a date that, tracing it back, would have been after we did the blood versus water premiere episode for the Tribe, and all of us were on it, so I barely spoke because it was like my first one, you know, and I didn't want to sound like a moron, so I just sat there and drank margaritas, and I was so drunk.
Made a baby.
Hey.
Allegedly.
The rest is history. The Tribe is bringing people together.
Yeah. So check us out on The Tribe and Survivor with Jay, Jack, and Colleen, because Shandy will be on tomorrow night. All right. So back to feedback. Mike says, what Bill Clinton did to Monica Lewinsky is sexual harassment in every single workplace in the country. You cannot have a consensual affair with that power structure. If Trump was banging an intern, there is absolutely no way he'd be excused like this, nor should he be. None of that is to say it's okay to blame Hillary in any way for Bill's actions.
Yeah, no, I think that's really fair. Obviously, there is a power dynamic that you cannot ignore. And it's not even that of just like a simple boss to an employee. It's like amped. You know, it's like that dynamic, but on steroids, because it's the president of the United States. So I think that's a fair criticism. I would say, though, like the only thing, again, I'm not going to defend his actions. Like, I don't need to do that. But I will say that listening to Monica Lewinsky's talks did kind of make me look at that whole relationship in a different light and maybe in a more nuanced way. But yes, absolutely, Mike is right.
Well, and when you say nuanced, like, what? I'm curious, because I've only heard excerpts from like her TED Talks. I've never heard the full thing. And it's more like she's talking about how she's kind of was embarrassed by the whole thing. And the more like the post and the fallout of what happened and not what actually happened.
There was one thing that I listened to.
I just had to add an in there because I wanted to piss off the American. okay, go ahead.
Okay, keep going. Cool.
So, what was I saying? Next time they put out a show, I'm going to count the number of filler words that they use, because and like are not the only filler words. So everyone does it, whatever. Anyway, So I can't actually.
Maybe we should just call this show
I'm like whatever. Okay. So, oh my God! And the problem is that then, like, when we start talking about it, then I get self-conscious about it, even though I know, like,
don't worry, dude. I'll fucking edit it out.
But there's no like, this is normal speech, and that's totally fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
You do you.
Yeah.
You
let your
flag fly.
Yeah, you grab that by the pussy.
Yep.
Just caress it real good, Shandy.
Oh, God damn it, Colleen. Jesus fucking Christ.
Jesus Christ doesn't like that language, Shandy.
Yep.
How do you know?
Because he told me so after
he told you so? He was like, yeah. I would rather you not scream my name, said no one ever. So, okay, I can't remember exactly what talk it was. I think I've seen like three things. Like, she hasn't done a ton of stuff. But in the past couple of years, obviously, there have been those couple of things. So I'll have to like look through again and see what it was. But there was one thing where she was talking about how she thought the reaction was sort of interesting, because when everything went down in the 90s, she was blamed, essentially. And that was the initial reaction, was she was blamed as, like, you know, being a slut and being like this horrible person and all of these things. Shandy. And she was like, and then what was interesting was that there was like a 180 degree shift where all of a sudden then Bill Clinton was being you know, the villain or villainized completely, and that, you know, he abused his position of power, which it is true. Like, he did. Yes. Obviously, again, I'm not trying to contest what Mike said. But anyway, so yeah. When she's talking about it, she's like, yeah. And then all of a sudden, everyone was just blaming him. And she was like, well, and this is what she said in this talk that I will find and post. And she's like, no, you know, it was a relationship and we were both involved. So she had a much more nuanced view. She was not happy with, obviously she was not happy when she was being blamed for everything. And Shit. But she was equally not happy when Clinton was, you know, when she was being seen as a complete victim.
Okay, I'm raising my hand. Do you think that she was victim blamed or woman blamed?
I mean, I think a lot of times those things go hand in hand, right?
No.
Yeah.
They don't have to go hand in hand.
They don't have to, but in this case it did.
No, yeah. Because Shandy, your point originally is that she's not a victim. So,
well, I'm not trying to contest what Mike said. Like, absolutely.
Let's be honest. He totally abused his power. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. Like, he literally had the highest position in the United States. And
there was a significant age difference. There's a significant wage difference, and then there's a significant job title, importance, whatever difference. That's, yes, obviously. Yeah,
a good way of describing it.
Yeah, but I think, like, here's the question. If the person involved doesn't think it's sexual harassment, is it sexual harassment? You know, if Monica Lewinsky herself says that she doesn't think she was sexually harassed, she thinks it was a relationship, is it okay for us to say, no, it is actually sexual harassment? Well, and I'm not picking a side. I'm posing it as a question.
Honestly, though, if you look at just a broader picture, I feel like there's a lot of times, even in real life, like, you know, a woman that's going through something and you as their friend or you as just the outsider hearing the story, you're like, no, honey, like, you're clearly like, this is not okay. This is not an okay relationship. This is not right. So I think that there's a very fine line because, you know, there are actual cases of, you know, women who just make justifications for their actions because they can't see it because for whatever reason, either their psyche is protecting them or they just don't want to see it. And I'm not saying that's the case in this situation, but, like, you can't deny that happens. So it's a weird question.
If they're saying it was consensual.
What was she like? How old was she at the time?
Like in her 20s.
Yeah,
she was in her
20s.
Okay, so she wasn't like 18 or 19.
No.
Because I would say that's pretty arguable either way. Because you might be legally old enough, but I would argue, like, we've talked about this before in an earlier episode, that you don't know jack shit until you're in your late 20s. And I'm so sorry if you're listening to this and you're in your early 20s or earlier than that, or even early to mid 20s. Like, you might know things and have, like, real shit going on in your life, and I don't discount that. But, like, personally for me, I feel like I did not know jack shit until I was, like, you know, 28, 29, 30. And that just could be because of my upbringing. Like, I was sheltered and I was very fortunate as a child.
Well, I think that as far as, like, what you know, I definitely agree with you. Like, I feel like I see the world differently than I used to. But I do think that there's a jump, like, when you reach your early 20s. And there's another jump when you reach your late 20s, early 30s. And I'm sure, you know, we'll be figuring this out in, like, 10 years, that there's probably another, like, huge jump where, like, oh, my God, I didn't know shit when I was 30. And now I see the world completely differently again. But to get back, though, to Monica Lewinsky, I think that, Amanda, to your point, like, it's a great question because I think it's hard to answer, but I do think that, yes, we can have a consensus. Well, I don't know. It's so important to have that person's perspective in mind. And that's, again, that is what made me sort of, like, think about her particular situation in a more nuanced way. And again, this is not her talking when everything's just gone down. This is her, you know, like, what, 20 years almost later, like, reflecting
exactly
on the past.
That's it. And that's what made me post the question. Because, it's not like her knee-jerk reaction. This is a decade on with time to think about it. And she's still saying that.
But again, like, there are certain things that exist that we've sort of like agreed upon as a society, because you could have, like, let's say you have a 14-year-old who is like in a romantic relationship with, I don't know, like a 25-year-old or a 30-year-old or whatever. And that person can say, no, it's completely consensual. And maybe to them it is. There's a reason that that's still illegal, because we are protecting that. So yes, that person's like feelings should matter to some extent, but also no, there are certain things you can't do, or that shouldn't be done to you. I don't know. I mean, obviously, again, like, that's maybe apples and oranges, because
but no, not exactly, because it's like, if you sort of think about an intern to a president, that wouldn't be such a different situation as a student to a teacher.
Yes. Yeah.
And yet we would, without question, say that was sexual assault. That was not okay. That was, even if both sides says it was consensual. So yeah, I think that line is not straight by any means.
Well, and there are reasons that we have rules at work and all of these things. But yeah, yeah. Again, it's just, I think it is interesting to hear it from the source and to listen to her own experience and how she processes it. And I think Monica Lewinsky is like such an amazing person. So
yeah,
just, if you have, again, like, I feel like we've talked about her a couple of times. If you have not looked up her TED talk, her address to Forbes, like, just do yourself a favor and do that. Cause it's
also,
I mean, not for nothing, to be a White House intern, you had to have been pretty fucking smart.
Exactly.
So like, she wasn't some dumb bimbo.
Right.
Or
and still
also,
isn't.
Let's move on for the sake of time, because we were doing so well with this episode. Greg says, I'm satisfied with your answer to my question. No need to answer it next episode unless you have something you want to elaborate on. I think that Shandy, he means vaginal orgasms. It may or may not have been a long answer. That's what she said. But you hit me. But you hit. But
wait,
you hit the
wait
right,
for it.
But you hit the right spots to leave me satisfied.
So happy. Nice. So glad that we could do that for you, Greg.
Oh, that
we
was
answered it.
Even in our drunken state, we could still leave you satisfied. That is saying something.
You know what the funny thing about that whole conversation is? I was making one point, and you were making a whole other point, and we were just talking at each other, but not
what
actually realizing.
What were we making?
Well, you were making the PSA about vaginal orgasms and how not every woman has one.
No. It's not just that not every woman has them. It's that like an overwhelming majority of women don't.
Yes. And I was
Although, why was I even, whatever. Anyway.
I don't know.
Oh, because people think that it's like, I think that lots of.
But that
people,
wasn't even what was being called into question. Like, you're
no,
just.
I just yeah.
Like, I
was
that's
just not like because a, we're talking about size. And so I think that gets to this idea of like this, like, sort of
right,
phallocentricity.
What I said was that it didn't matter about size. It mattered about that the vaginal orgasm, whether you could have it or not, pretty much if you could, that was about the angle. And then I said something about how, which I cut out because I didn't want to embarrass Shut Up Tim, but I guess I'm going to go for it now, is that how Shut Up Tim a few years ago in a tribe chat had mentioned that it was all about the angle, and that sort of changed my life, because then I was like, and then, you know, I applied that to real life and was like, Tim was right. And then, so anyways, that's my story.
But here's where I will re-inject one more time my PSA, because I don't want people to feel badly about themselves if even with the different angles, it's not working, just because most women just don't. And that's okay.
Right. And I'm just saying that as somebody
that you're some kind of weirdo.
I don't think society is sharing
a personal story.
Yes. Excuse me.
Of her own life experience and no one else's.
I mean, because it's like an underreported fact. Anyway, whatever. That's neither here nor there.
Whatever. And Dennis said, in my honest opinion, if you've been reading the same novel for a month or 6 months, it's time to give that book away and find a new one. There is too little time and too many great books out there.
Disagree.
Yeah. Well, kind of fair enough, though.
No, so. Disagree.
All right.
I'm a slow reader. I don't got a lot of time.
Well, right. Like, maybe there are different variables to consider. I think there's something to this, but if you have like legitimate reasons that you haven't been able to finish that book in a month or 6 months, then maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, if it's just that, I mean, if it's an indicator of your interest level in the book, then yeah, you should.
Okay.
Just
what if
else.
your legitimate excuse is just the internet and editing the show?
And I think that's fine.
Yes. Yes.
Nothing against the book. Like, it's like it, you get to it when you get to it. Where if you're like purposefully not reading the book because you're just not feeling it, then yeah, put it down. But like, you shouldn't have a time limit on it. It should be because you're like, yeah, no, I actually just don't like this book. Yeah. Go with your gut, man. Go with your gut.
Is it often though, I will ask, like, do either of you often like start a book and then realize I'm really not that into this book, so I'm going to stop? Or do you feel like this like weird external pressure to finish the book anyway?
Yes.
It's a weird internal pressure.
Right. Okay. Maybe that's more accurate.
Because I am not a quitter.
Right.
If I put my mind to something, damn it, I'm going to do it.
I
maybe
have
the last
really
pages,
a bad, really boring book for me to not finish it. I will get through it.
Okay. All right. Let's name some names. Have there been any really bad books that you've gotten like midway through and been like, I just can't, and left it?
Yes, but none of them are coming to mind at the moment.
Okay, well, if you think about them, or if you out there, the listener, knows, because it's kind of fascinating to me, let us know, thebroadcasters3@gmail.com. Just, you know, hit us up with that. We'll get to a little bit more feedback. So we have another email from Lindsay. Hey, Broads, I have a whole refrigerator draw full of garlic bulbs from Blue Apron. I caught onto their shit real quick and bought a jar of minced garlic from Costco for the recipes. Hashtag stop sending me garlic. Hashtag I like vampires. Amanda, how do you feel about this? As you admitted a few episodes ago that you are a vampire.
Yeah, that's true. I am a vampire. So I take garlic very personally. I'm also Italian, so I take garlic extra personally.
That's a true story.
Minced garlic doesn't have as much flavor as the garlic bulb. That is why you want to use an actual garlic clove.
Yes,
and mince
but
it fresh
takes so much
because it has more
time.
Yes, and on rare occasion, I will use minced garlic like in sauce or something where you don't need the flavor quite as intensely, where it's just sort of like a supplemental thing. But yeah, really, if you can bear it and suffer through the couple extra minutes of knife work practice.
For some of us, it's
mincing,
not a couple of extra minutes.
Like but there's also tips. So like to get the skin off the garlic, if you have two metal bowls, put your garlic cloves in the metal bowls, shake it, and that's supposed to take most of the peeling off, so then you don't get it on your fingers.
Wait, say that again?
So you take the garlic cloves, put them in a bowl, and you shake. Like, you put it two bowls together, so it makes like a little, like a globe, and then you shake, and that's supposed to take off most of the skin, so then you can just kind of pull it off instead of, like, peel it.
And what do you do,
Shane? We have this thing that's, like, looks like a weird sheath-type thing in this, like, plasticky material, and you put the garlic inside it, and then you press down and, like, roll it on the,
like
the counter,
like a
and that
garlic press.
Yes. Well, no, it's just
not like quite.
Yeah, it's not a press, but it is just to take the skin off, actually.
Hmm. Yep. Or buy a garlic press. Then you don't have to mince. It just does it for you. It's like a lemon squeezer.
Okay. Well, that said, also, I've done the minced garlic thing, not for Blue Apron, just before Blue Apron. And I always just added like the juice in it and it was fine. You know, like how the olive juice comes with it. I'm lazy enough to subscribe to this. No, I'm lazy enough to subscribe
to
this.
Yeah, to each is their own. But when you can, you just use the real stuff. It's better for you. It's going to taste better.
That's
it's getting one, one with nature.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And practice makes perfect. Your knife skills will get better the more you do it.
I'll give you that because I actually minced some garlic the other day for a Blue Apron and it took me like 6 minutes instead of 20. So,
yep. The key is also not to take the knife off of the board. to put the tip down and you just almost like a paper cutter.
Yes. Just the tip.
Yep. Just the tip. Just the tip down, which is, you know, the advice for so many things. No, it's not. Not at all.
Just a tip.
Just a tip.
Yeah.
I kind of want a second glass of wine now, but no, I want to be skinny more. So we will finish this out with my last sip.
All right.
All right. So we got an email from Maggie. Maggie.
Who's reading it?
Whoever wants to.
You.
Okay. So Maggie writes in. Amanda, Shani, and Colleen, I just finished the last episode, Martinis and Fritos. It was really good. Thank you for talking about things no one does and probably should. Thank you, Maggie. My one comment about TMI on the internet is I think it does exist, but only around certain things. Here's an example of something a friend of mine put on Facebook once. She posted photos of ovulation charts for getting pregnant and how to have a girl or when to have sex to have a girl. This is TMI. I get that she wanted to have a girl, but still her friends on Facebook don't need to know when she's ovulating. Not information I needed or wanted, but I got it. Spoiler alert, she didn't have a girl. From Maggie.
I do know that they have like the Shuttles method out there, and that's ways to have a girl or to have a boy. That's a lot of TMI. If I went through like some kind of adoption struggle or infertility or something, I might share that after the fact, just because I think that that's all, or a miscarriage. I think those are things that are important to normalize in society and not have that shame factor around it. But like my ovulation charts and being, you know, so like blatantly like, I want this gender. I feel like that's not even TMI. Like that's just, why?
It's an inappropriate use of the internet.
Yes. Like, nobody gives a fuck when you're ovulating. Just hit 12 weeks and tell us when you're knocked up.
Yep. It's even like, and to take that like a step further, because I sort of see this quite a bit, and it just sort of is in my mind because I've seen it with my own family this week, of like posting like personal family drama on Facebook. It's like sort of stuff where it's like, oh, if I see that person, like this person's trying to steal money from me. It's just like, it's not like social media is not an appropriate venue for that.
I actually saw some.
I have very strong feelings about that. That bothers me very, very much.
I saw someone, and I thought this was a high school friend, but maybe it's a college friend, and this is who you're thinking of, where this dude, I thought he was high school, like has cancer, and he implored everybody on his feed to not tell his brother because his brother was a piece of shit and he didn't want him to know it.
Whoa!
Like, just don't air your dirty laundry on social media. Like, it's like I see that a lot with like from ancillary people in my life, and it's just like, come on, that's not the place for it. That's not what it's invented for.
Also, grow up.
Talk to that person in person.
Right.
Like, don't post it on Facebook and then get mad if someone, like, responds to your feed. Like, that's really inappropriate. You shouldn't say that.
Or
because it is inappropriate.
Right.
That person is right to call you out on it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
If you're angry about that thing, like, talk to that person or journal.
Or journal. That's what my recommendation would be, to journal or something like that. Man. But I don't know. Although I think if somebody talks shit about me like that on the internet, I might just do the when they go low, we go high thing and just totally ignore it. Or I would like it.
You're never going to look good. Like if you're the person doing the hating on social media, you're never going to look good. You're never going to look like the victim. Because you're giving the other person the opportunity to go high.
Right.
And then you look like a bigger dick. You're never going to look good.
Don't do it. I don't know. I know that I've said probably a couple of times on this podcast that there's no such thing as TMI on the internet. And I think I, you know, definitely like saying that a bit flippantly, like, obviously I agree that there are certain situations like the one that Maggie talked about, or that you guys are talking about. I think that we also do just like to share, like, I don't know, like it is interesting, the sort of personal things that we will share about ourselves on the internet, where people that we kind of know a little bit / maybe don't even know, like, find it. But there's definitely a line and a limit. And certain things, just no, just that's where it comes back to, like, common sense. Do you have it or do you not? Maybe I don't know. Maybe people who podcast about their lives don't have common sense because we are just putting this out there forever. But I feel like it's okay. You know, like, I think, like, we've sort of thought it through, and it's definitely not the same as some of that other stuff. Yeah. You will never see my ovulation information online.
Nope.
Ever.
Nope. Ain't
yes,
nobody's
although-
business.
We all talk about our periods enough. You guys just count back 14 days and figure out our ovulation information. So, I'm sorry, 12 to 16 days if we're getting technical. So, if you really want to know, like, oh, she ate a lot of Fritos during this podcast. She either has her period or is ovulating. I wonder which one it could be. Oh, she talked about her period 2 weeks later. I guess it was ovulation. Oh, Amanda itched her boobs more than usual this lately. Obviously, she's either ovulating or getting her period. I wonder which one it could be.
Really? Is that true?
Oh, I mean, yeah. My boobs, my side boobs hurt when I'm ovulating. That's how I know.
Oh.
Huh.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's like...
That's good to know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, it's different from everybody. It's different for everybody else. That's just my...
Also, I feel like if
you have a bra on for too long...
Yeah, you will.
That could be it, too. I just... Yeah. As somebody that has not been on the pill in...
Right. I was going to say, if you're on hormonal...
Like, I'm real good at recognizing the symptoms now.
You really, Colleen, you need to read Cunt. There's a whole chapter that, like, I can't fully appreciate because I take hormonal birth control, but you would be able to appreciate. Also, call back to, like, our first episode.
Yeah.
And
also, call back to Julia, Cunt. All right, let's get to our last... let's get to our last email.
Okay, this one is from John. It says, "Hey gals, been loving the podcast. Keep doing what you're doing. Thanks, we will. I wanted to get some advice. My girlfriend and I have been seeing each other for about a year and a half. I love her and I asked her to move in with me. Oh, she said yes and I felt awesome. But now I'm a little anxious/nervous. Everyone tells me things are going to change and I'm hoping we'll just work through everything and figure it out. I did want to ask you guys if there's anything I should be doing to prepare and prevent any issues from the move. For example, I grew up in a house full of women, so I automatically close the toilet seat. Our apartment is pretty spacious, so I think that won't be an issue. Any tips you can give me that I should address before the move? Thanks in advance, JD from NJ."
Well, you already closed the toilet seat.
Yeah, so you're like three steps there already. yeah, I guess as someone who kind of recently went through the same thing myself, I think the things that really helped us was sort of having conversations about money, which no one loves talking about, but sort of deciding how are we splitting things? Who's going to pay what bills? Are we going to split everything evenly? Are we going to do it by percentage of our salary? Just knowing sort of that kind of stuff, I think, prevents unnecessary conflict. On a simpler side, talking about who's bringing what is always good. If you both have a couch, you don't need both of them. So pick a couch. My boyfriend and I did, we sort of picked, if we had duplicates of things, we went with who had the nicer one, and also the things that we decided that we were just going to get afresh in the new place. But yeah, I think just being really, really open and communicative, expressing, like, if you've been dating that long, you've probably spent enough nights together to kind of know each other's, like, are you a morning person? Are you a nighttime person? Are you an evening showerer? Like, when do you... You know, what kind of space you need in the morning. So that probably isn't going to be that much of an issue. But yeah, just being really open and talking about things you feel like you might need to talk about.
Yeah, I agree. It's been 7 years since I did that. But I vaguely remember money. Well, vaguely remember money's always a fight because you're going to fight about money for as long as you're a couple, probably, because I think that's pretty much a universal thing, right?
No. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they say like family feud.
Yes and no.
Yeah. I think it's always a conversation.
It's an issue. I think unless you have like some sort of like insane abundance of it, like it's an issue that, yes, you have to.
Right. Right. Exactly. Because there's just always going to be disagreements. Like, do we need to really get this, or can we wait until, like, you know, we have money next month or something? So,
right. Yeah. Priorities. And especially if you're not the same kind of spenders.
Yes. And Jay and I are not the same kind of spenders at all. And I'm pretty sure he's said that on many a podcast. So, but
you keep you guys afloat. So.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all, I mean, you know, you're always going to have certain things that are going to be issues, but if, like Amanda said, like, if you've been dating for that long, you probably already have a good enough idea. Other things I would recommend would probably be put your socks in the hamper, because women get really fucking tired of picking up socks from all over the house. also glasses, putting them in the sink. And I can't think of anything else off the top of my head.
I would say something interesting to talk about, and just kind of piggybacks off of what you guys have already said, but obviously communication is important. But one thing to maybe talk about is actually, like, who's going to do what in terms of, like, household chores and stuff, which is also a callback to our crossover episode. And I do believe studies have shown that couples are happier and stay together longer if they do stuff to, like, household chores together. That being said, I don't know if everyone, like, I certainly, there's things that we do together, but there are also, like, certain things that, like, my husband will do, other things that I will do. But it's good to know, like, sort of what, you know, so everything doesn't just fall on her because it's housework, you know, just like sort of divvying that up and making sure that everyone's participating.
Right.
But yeah, no, that's totally fair.
You also, you feel a lot closer when you're working towards something as a team.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, I've learned that doing laundry together is a lot more fun, because laundry is heavy, and our laundry room, the dryer, the top dryer is too high. I can't reach the top of it.
So you complete each other.
Well, that's really good, because the only doing laundry together that we've ever done is, quote, doing laundry together. So I wouldn't know, but I feel like one time Jay folded a towel and I was really appreciative.
Yeah. Well, and it's, I think it's like, we just also explained or just demonstrated how it's different for every couple.
Yeah. Also,
you know, it's like, we don't have set, like, I do one thing, he does another. We sort of take turns.
Okay.
It's like, you're home from work on Thursday. Can you do the laundry? 'Cause we need it for the weekend. Like, oh, hey, like, you're working this weekend. I'm home. I'll vacuum this weekend. So we trade it up. The only thing I think, and I think we kind of all seem to be kind of in the same boat with this, is that one person that seems to be, like, the main culinary person.
Mm. Yeah.
So, like, I'm the main cook in our house, but Shandy, it sounds like your husband's the main cook for you guys. I think that this is the one universal I seem to see is, like,
I try to help when I can. Yeah. I try to be a sous chef when I can, but really, like, I just don't like it and I'm not that good at it. Now, if my husband didn't like it, then I would have to pick up the slack, because we all have to participate. And also, I think I do feel like there are certain things that I have to do maybe in addition, because cooking is such a time consuming thing. So I feel like the person who does that, like, I will systematically clean up afterwards, or clean up and set up. So there's got to be a balance.
I will say,
that's great. Like, having someone else do the dishes for you when you're the one doing the cooking is great. 'Cause my stove is never cleaner because someone else is doing the dishes. So I have the energy to clean the stove after I'm done cooking.
Jay used to do all the cooking, but since we did the Blue Apron, I do my fair share of the cooking now. And I do the dishes probably 90% of the time, regardless of if I cook or clean. But that's because Jay will go then and play with Zach. And I feel like I still win out in that deal, because I don't have to play Thomas the Trains for the 20th time in a row.
fair. You're both contributing to your family.
Right. So. But I will say that in my household, love is cleaning the cat box. And I have only done that once or twice ever in the 7-8 years that we've had Zoe. So there's that.
I would love a little more help on the cat box. It doesn't seem forthcoming.
You know, so would Jay, which is funny because Zachary, and did you guys see the video I posted in the patrons group of Zach talking about Zoe making poopies?
I saw that you posted it and I didn't watch it. Now I can't find it.
I'll tag you in it. I'll bump it up. It's really cute. Okay. I mean, it's not very long at all, but like he talks about Zoe making poopies out of nowhere. But Jay was cleaning the cat box yesterday, and the funny thing about that is, so yesterday is Monday at this point. I think it was Sunday morning or Saturday morning. Zach goes to me. It was the weirdest thing because, you know, we were had this cat box thing happen like a day later. And he goes, Zoe poopies. And I said, yes, you're right. Zoe makes poopy. He goes, Danny and Zachy clean up poopies.
Oh, no.
And no. I was like, Zachy doesn't do that yet, but I'm sure Daddy will be very happy when Zachy is okay with cleaning up the poopies. And then, like, last night, the whole time, we put the little gate up and, like, tried to trap him in. But, like, that kid was dead fucking set on watching Jay clean Zoe's shit. And I was like, oh, you guys have fun.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you guys do your thing. Because, like, oh, this must have been Sunday that he cleaned up. So, Tuesday, because yesterday they did Westworld. So, Sunday, Jay was cleaning the cat box and, like Zach had his fire truck against the gate, back and forth, back and forth. He's like, Daddy and Zachy, Zoe's poopies. And I was like, just Daddy, but, you know, whatever you gotta do. Yeah, it was cute. Another boring story to end up the end of the show.
Well, I was just gonna say the litter box is actually something that my husband is like, he's like, I'm just sick of doing the litter box. Like, he's like, I know they're kind of expensive, but those like self-cleaning things, I don't know if they're actually expensive, but maybe a couple $100. I'm not sure. But those like self-cleaning cat boxes that.
I think Jack has that. He's like, we need to get that.
Yeah. So I think that's going to be our next thing is I think that's legit because it's not like I like cleaning the cat box either. And
right.
Now that we have two cats, it's yeah. Yeah. But also like to that point, as far as cleaning goes, if you can afford to hire somebody to come and clean your place, like that's also the best way to quote unquote divide the cleaning tasks.
Yes.
Because, and then you just don't even have to worry about it. Yeah. And everyone's happy.
That's true.
And Shandy, I think that Jack has the self-cleaning litter box. You should write into the Married Man show and find out about that.
All right. I will.
I'm sure they'll be happy for the question, even though it's nothing relationship related.
Right. Well, last time I wrote in, I also told them that I was like, okay. Well, I told Tim, I was like, that was my last time for like a good long time because I wrote in 3 times in like 2 weeks. And that's like, I feel a little bit self-conscious. Like,
no, don't. They fucking love that. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And it's like, oh, it's Shandy again.
Nah, okay. Not at all. But anyways, so similar to last week, it's 11:11. So I don't fucking care if it's 8:11 for you. Apparently, we Perfect. End the show at 11:11 every week.
Yes.
Everybody kiss the clock and make a wish.
Already did.
Nice. Yeah, this week I'm much less concerned about the time difference. Like, I'll just go with it. It's 11:11.
She's like, I've only had two drinks this week.
Exactly.
Not a bottle. So I'm really excited for our champagne brunch. We should schedule that.
We should.
Yeah, yeah we should.
Well,
yeah.
You tell me. When are you guys free?
Well, we'll figure it out off air. And
no, right now.
How about this? I will post. Okay, so why don't I post in the patrons Facebook group to start, and then I'll move it over to the regular one after that to narrow down some dates that people can participate in our champagne brunch, and we will do that. But we'll make it happen. All right, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out off air because now it's getting long.
Yeah.
That's what she said. Okay, so I guess, does anybody else have anything before we go?
Nope.
Okay. Nope. Hashtag, but I don't know.
I'm with hers.
I'm with hers. We've got to thank some of our patrons at a special level. That's Eckhart Richner, a.k.a. Elon Musk, apparently. Brett from Chicago. and Tack from Tokyo. And I have to say, on air, Tack, Jay and I just got that thing that you sent, and it's super cool. Thank you so much. I will contact you more in private. Brett, I still owe you an email because I'm the worst. Elon Musk, a.k.a. Eckhart, I feel like the cool nickname is enough. Please consider becoming a patron, patreon.com/JayandJack. I don't really have anything else, except I'm 100% more sober than I was when we finished the show last week. And yeah. I feel good about that. I feel good about that. If you're a Married Man Show listener, next time I talk to you guys, I will be on the flip side of Brian, a.k.a. Brent's wedding, because that is happening on Sunday the 23rd. So that should be exciting. And yeah, sure. I'm sorry, what'd you say, Amanda?
I said I'm excited for details afterward, a little recap.
Oh, don't worry. There'll be a recap. Brian's wedding recap. Only lost people will get that. Brian's wedding recap. Yeah, I'll give that. Oh my God, I finally have a wedding to recap. Oh my God, this is going to be great. We are driving to Connecticut, so that should be super exciting and whatever.
Oh, where in Connecticut?
Manchester. The wedding is in Springfield, Massachusetts, I think, but then okay. The reception and hotel are in Manchester. So
the Black Hole.
I have no fucking idea.
They straight up call that the Black Hole of Connecticut because there's nothing there. You fly over. It's a dark hole.
Oh, well, I'm going to a dark hole. So, yeah, I'll have Brian wedding stories maybe. I'm trying to think what else. Yeah, I got nothing else. Yeah, no updates on the fridge and wall damage front. And I know, bummer, right? I tried to call some contractors. Everybody was busy for a month. So I was like, well, I don't know what to do now. But yeah, okay, that's it. I've got nothing else. I hope that everybody has a wonderful weekend, rest of the week, et cetera, et cetera. If you would like to give us feedback, you can email us, thebroadcasters3@gmail.com. You can call us 331-BROADS3. Here is the time of the show where I look it up because I'm never fucking prepared. And that would be 331-276-2373. And yeah, that's it. Thank you, ladies, for a great show. We need to figure out what we're doing on the Tuesday of Election Day.
Oh, right.
Well, I know what I'm wearing.
Has it arrived yet?
No.
Oh.
Hopefully soon.
Yeah, please text us a picture when it arrives.
We'll figure that out. Oh, I will. Maybe we'll record the day before or the Thursday after or something. Or the day of. Who knows? But on that note, everybody, fare thee well and have a wonderful everything. Before I forget... check out the other shows on the network, and that is Married Man Show, Westworld with Jay and Jack, which is, you know, the new It thing. They have Dancing with the Stars, which that's a fun show if you're watching that show still. Sports Talk, if you're into Sports Talk, which I guess you can also just listen to the Married Man Show because that's like half a Sports Talk show anyway. but yeah, check everything else out. They still have Binge Watch that they're doing. They might do Luke Cage. We are midway through that, but that's like a slow burn because we just don't have fucking time. They're still doing Binge Watch. They've got Lost is going to get updated at some point. So check out everything. If you want to subscribe to the whole enchilada feed, that will have every Jay and Jack show imaginable. But definitely check out Westworld because I love that show right now. And the podcast has been great. They have Mike Bloom on that. He's a great addition to the family. And yeah, that's all I've got. So I guess on that note, for real now, I'm Colleen.
I'm Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Peace out, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. We're part of Jay and Jet Network. God. We are a part of the Jay and Jet Network. Oh, my God. Apparently, I can't speak. We're part of Jay and Jet Network. God. We are a part of the Jay and Jet Network. Think so. And if you're listening to this and you host a show on the Jay and Jack Network, please. God, why can't I say Jay and Jack Network? Network. If you're
she sells
Let's get all this stuff I'm gonna cut out of the way first. At once.
Yes.
We're not drunken messes and we're not saying embarrassing things, so I mean really it's gonna be an easy show to edit.
Yeah, right. we're not gently caressing the pussy, so you know, it's all good. Jesus fucking Christ.
End of it.
The Sunday after Thanksgiving, I will actually be driving back from the woods up in Northern California.
Are you going to have sexy times there?
No. I'm going to see family.